Hello and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Eric Jansen. Tonight, Rocked by Women. It's a multimedia dance theater performance being presented in Oakland this weekend, celebrating women's music and its influence over nearly half a century. As one of my two guests tonight put it, music soothes us, shakes us, astounds us, and breaks our hearts. In Rocked by Women, her dance company rocks through the life of a woman rocked by women. From baby steps to coming out, from first crush to lost love, music by women from the 1970s through the early 2000s binds the story of many to one and one to many, transforming everyday memories to the history we all share. It's a kinetic hybrid work paying tribute to the women who rocked us. Sarah Bush is the artistic director of Sarah Bush Dance Project, which brings Rock by Women to the Malanga Cascalord Center for the Arts in Oakland this weekend, May 9th and 10th, Saturday night at 7 and Sunday afternoon at 2. She's the creator and choreographer of Rock by Women and has been performing in the Bay Area since 1997 in nightclubs, churches, LGBT pride festivals, and fine arts theaters. Sarah has also performed on Olivia Cruz's and locally with Chrissy Kiefer's Revolutionary Dance Brigade in San Francisco. Sarah has received awards, recognition, and praise for her work from Curve Magazine, Bay Area Dance Watch, The Huffington Post, SF Weekly, The Bay Guardian, SF Bay Times, and the East Bay Arts Monthly. Sarah Bush, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thank you, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here.
Sarah has brought with her tonight the director and co-creator of Rocked by Women. Becca Wolf is a director and writer focused on new works, new forms, and attracting new audiences to theater. In addition to working with Sarah on Rocked by Women, she's directing Encore Productions' world premiere of Hookman by Lauren Yee, which opens this Saturday at Z-Space. She'll be directing the West Coast premiere of The Kid Thing by Sarah Grubbins at New Conservatory Theater in November, and a new adaptation of Antigone, which she's co-devising with Annie Saunders, now in development with SF Playhouse and the Getty Villa in Los Angeles. She teaches at Berkeley City College, the East Bay Center for the Performing Arts, and Pixar U. Becca Wolf, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Thanks, Eric. It's great to be here.
Yeah, thank you both for being here. So we want to hear some music from the show for sure. We've got several cuts lined up. But before we play the first piece, Sarah, what inspired you to create Rocked by Women?
This show is my best attempt of saying thank you, to the women who have rocked me, who have raised me in my lifetime. And that's my mother, that's leaders in the community, and it's certainly women who have made music. I was raised on women's music from the time I was 2 years old. So I was raised with the music of Chris Williamson and Holly Near and Margie Adam and Meg Christian, and grew up singing those songs and looking at their images on the covers of their records. So I feel like from that very first point, I was so fortunate to have them as role models for me of how to be a woman, how to be an artist. And through the course of my life, through my own coming out and through my adulthood as an artist, my connections to women's music have been there that whole time. So this show is my thank you. That's why I made it. I wanted to honor those voices and my connection to them, and hopefully keep their music out there and exposed to younger audiences that may not have heard of them, and to also give folks who did grow up hearing that music, or for them it was an important time in their adult life to receive that music, that they get to remember those times and hear that music celebrated on stage.
Great. So the first piece we're going to hear, actually most of the music in this piece, there's some originals from the decades past, but there's also most of it is composed by Julie Wolf, right?
Yeah, it's kind of about 50-50, original tracks and compositions by Julie Wolf specific for the show. And this first track we're going to hear, we call Invocation, and it opens the show this year. And it is that thank you moment for me as a performer. So when I hear these first piano notes as I walk out on stage, it's my chance to remember that this is about how music makes me feel. Thank you.
That's Invocation by Julie Wolfe, who composed the score for Rocked by Women, created and performed by Sarah Bush Dance Project at Malanga Cascalord Center for the Arts in Oakland this weekend, May 9th and 10th. Ticket and other information at sarahbushdance.com. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Sarah Bush and Becca Wolfe, who directed the project. So what's going on? While we're hearing that Invocation, what's going on stage?
It's a solo of mine, and I walk out into the space and as if nothing is really going on. And then that first piano note happens, and I hear it and feel that sound go through my body. I close my eyes, moved by that music. And then as it keeps going, I then open my eyes, and it's a chance for me as a performer to look at the audience. And it's a really wonderful way for me to start performing, that I look out and I make eye contact with people in the audience, and it's my chance to say also thank you to them with my eyes for thank you for being here. Thank you for being on the receiving end of this art.
This is a multimedia production, right? So,
yes.
So obviously there's a lot of dance, but you're a dance project, but what else is going on?
So there's also been a video score that's been created by Aaron Birch, and that's in several of the scenes, adding to the environment of the scene and allows us to even more effectively take the audience on this journey of this show. The journey in the second half does include getting to take the audience on several exciting vacations. One, to the Michigan Women's Music Festival. So we have footage from the festival that puts us in that environment, as well as on an Olivia cruise and into Club Q, the amazing Club Q that was such a fabulous club here in San Francisco.
Led by Paige Odell. Oh, Paige Odell.
Yes,
yeah.
We love Paige Odell. I think she is such an artist and such a genius at bringing community together as a DJ, and with all the projects she touches, she brings such joy. So Club Q is a big part of my young adult life. It was one of the first places I got paid to be a choreographer. So I choreographed the Club Q dancers for several years for the midnight shows at Club Q, where we had, 2,000 women all dancing together and celebrating together. So I wanted to honor Paige's work and that club, that place in the San Francisco queer history.
So how autobiographical is this piece for you?
At this point, in this iteration of it, it is very autobiographical, it feels to me. And as I'm teaching it to the dancers, I'm telling them the stories that happened to me that inform the work. At the same time, Becca worked with me to come to a place of taking my personal story and finding what was most universal about those stages of development in one's life, childhood, adolescence, coming out in all the different ways that all of us have to come out in our lives and are having our hearts broken. And so there's a very universal way that I think it gets expressed. But yes, it does come from my personal experience of being raised with the music, my experience of coming out in high school and being rejected by the first person I had a crush on, and then later in my life finding great communities of lesbians that totally embraced me, and mm-hmm. finding love and having my heart broken, all of those things.
So, Becca, what about you? Are there particular, singers or songwriters or other musicians that had an effect on you that are reflected in this work?
Yeah, a lot of the musicians that Sarah loves and grew up with, I did not grow up with, surprisingly, since I'm from Santa Cruz, where I am sure they were very popular. But I went to a sort of semi-rural high school, and a lot of what was going on in the world was totally foreign to me. It was a very small town.
Semi-rural, can you tell us the name of the town?
Yes, Felton.
Felton, yeah. Oh yeah, good old Felton.
Yeah.
Up in the Santa Cruz Mountains,
exactly.
Along the San Lorenzo River.
Exactly, way back yonder in the redwood trees. But my sister gave me an Ani DiFranco album when I was 15, and I flipped out. I was like, what? She's so amazing! And it was, I had never heard music that I felt like the lyrics, both as poetry, right, that it had this sound that was like, there's a lot of internal rhyme and just very, that catches your ear in this really interesting way. Plus it's like this hard driving acoustic guitar. I had never heard such a thing. And I was like, she's so tough and she's so cool. And, as a 15-year-old blossoming lesbian, I definitely was like, there's something in here for me. And So for me, the Ani DiFranco reference is definitely a very strong one.
So now, is there how does Ani DiFranco figure in this piece, in this work?
There's a scene in the show where our main character has recently acknowledged her lesbianism, her feelings for this other woman, and she thinks, well, where do I go? What do I do now? I'm sort of alone in this feeling. And I have memories of going to the local women's bookstore to look for that sense of community, or to even read, like, what does this mean? What does it mean to be lesbian? What resources are out there? And because our show is about music, we took our character into a record store. So she goes into a record store and starts searching. And just like Becca was saying, you find these artists that speak to your experience. So she goes up to each of the record bins and selects a record, and as she pulls the record out of the bin and opens the record, the music magically comes out of the record. The sound appears, and so does an embodiment of that artist. So she goes to these different bins and pulls the record out to hear the music, and one of those record bins she goes to, she opens an Ani DiFranco record. So we get to see our version of an Ani DiFranco come dance herself out on stage.
She's fun. Pretty hot.
She is pretty hot. You'd want to be her.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Definitely.
So let's go back to the the woman who's kind of credited, I should say, with sort of being the mother of the women's music movement, Chris Williamson.
Yes.
Tell us about the piece that's in Rocked by Women, that's by Chris Williamson.
Yeah, so that's If It Weren't for the Music, which this version that we use in the show and that we've played here on the show is from a live recording from her Circle of Friends album. And I love it for the title, for the thesis of it all. And that we took that as a great theme song from Chris's work, though I would have loved to have used many of her tracks. And then later in the show, that's an early scene in the show that really is about celebrating the music and the way that music used to spread. There wasn't the internet, so people had to go to concerts and be actually handed a record by someone. Right. So we use that song to illustrate that time of really building the record label and starting to share the music.
Mm-hmm. And building a movement in many ways through the music.
And building a movement. Yeah. How cool is it that it's the word movement, right? Mm-hmm. Building a movement. And we bring that theme of that music back later in the show when there's a reference to the moment where our main character actually gets to meet Chris Williamson for the first time. And so the score underneath that scene, Julie Wolfe has taken the original track by Chris Williamson and done her own variation of it on guitar that's quite beautiful. So we have that song reflected in two different ways in the show.
Okay, so let's now hear the Chris Williamson version, If It Weren't for the Music.
Still be looking for the way to say I want to be your good friend. I want to be your good friend. I want to be your good friend. I want everything that's coming. Make me fly like a
That is If It Weren't for the Music by Chris Williamson. It's included in the production Rocked by Women, which will be at the Malanga Cascalord Center for the Arts in Oakland this weekend, May 9th and 10th, Saturday and Sunday. You can find information at sarahbushdance.com. You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Eric Jansen, here with Sarah Bush and Becca Wolf, who directed the directing the production. Two performances only.
That's
so,
right.
Yes,
get your tickets now.
You were just saying, Sarah, while we were playing, while we were hearing Chris Williamson, that there's a good way to. What's the next piece we're going to hear, and we're going to lead to that?
Well, I was realizing as I was listening to the, you know, for the thousandth time to that beautiful song, that she does reference the mountains in that song, and it was reminding me how, as I was creating the work, the word rock had so many great meanings for me as a mover, rocking as a motion, rocking as you would cradle a baby, rock a baby, and having your world rocked, having your foundation shook and stirred up and rallied to your feet, all the different definitions of rock. And when we were looking at selections of Holly Near music, it was a similar thing for me. Of course, I love so many of her songs. There's so many that I remember singing as a child with my mother. But that her song, Mountain Song, felt like it fit so nicely with so many of those themes. And so Holly's been a wonderful support for me in making this work. She provided a lot of generous interview for me as research for the show and feedback, and been really creatively helpful for me. And so we have her song in the show in many, many ways. Julie Wolf does a version where that's a recorded version that is of humming it, which is beautiful, which my mother hummed and sang these lullabies to me as a kid, this music of these women, Chris Williamson and Holly Near and others. So we have a hummed version of it. And then Julie got together three amazing girls from the Unitarian Universalist Church of Berkeley's youth choir and recorded them singing Holly Near's Mountain Song as a way of showing the generations with all of this and how the impacts that we have, the dancers performing as if they are little girls in this scene being raised by this music. So we have that recording also of the young girls from the Unitarian Universalist Berkeley choir.
Well, let's hear that now.
I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter. And you can't just take my dreams away, not with me watching. You may drive a big machine, but I was born a great big woman. And you can't just take my dreams away, not with me fighting. This old mountain raised my many daughters. Some died young, some are still living. If you come here to take your mountain, well, we ain't come here to give it. I have dreamed on this mountain since first I was my mother's daughter. And you can't just take my dreams away, not with me watching. No, you can't just take my dreams away without me fighting.
So that was Mountain Song, performed by some young folks from Unitarian Universalist Church in Berkeley.
Yes, we're so grateful for them for doing that recording for us for the show. And that's in the show, that's when our main character is probably in sort of elementary school age, the age that those girls who recorded it, it's their age as well. And as the show progresses, we go through teen years and, oh, all of the awkward things in that. And then coming out as a teenager has its whole other set of any of us in the room and out there. If any of us came out in teenage years, or even if you didn't come out, you have that feeling of feeling so different and other. And we have a scene in the show where our two main characters have been hanging out and people are seeing that and starting to talk about it, mm-hmm. and making up sort of rumors of what they think maybe is going on. So I asked Julie, I said, you know, what if we took all of the sounds that a phone makes, the old school phone, you know, like rotary phones, not what our cell phones make, took all of those sounds and created sort of a hip hop rhythmic soundtrack that we could dance this gossip scene to, where we bring actual phones and phone cords out and get in this tangled conversation of gossip. So we brought with us also that track that Julie made for our gossip scene.
So tell us a little bit about what's going on. So what are we seeing on stage?
So what we're seeing on stage, I know it's so fun to do dance on the radio, isn't it? It's so fun. What we're seeing on stage is our main character is standing on stage a little forlorn, and the phone rings, and a phone flies out on stage from nowhere, attached to a very long spiral phone cord. She picks up the phone to answer it, and on the other end is her new budding love interest. And as their conversation progresses, more dancers, conversation, which is movement, as their movement conversation progresses, more dancers enter into the stage with more phones and more phone cords. So it's a little bit Bye Bye Birdie, I think. but that more and more voices pipe in on this gossipy conversation, and they're all connected and tangled up by these phone cords.
That is Gossip, or Telephones, composed by Julie Wolfe for Rocked by Women. It's part of the score. She composed the whole score. I'm Eric Jansen. My guests are Sarah Bush and Becca Wolfe. Becca Wolfe, Julie Wolfe, you're not related, are you?
We are not, except spiritually. We met and thought, wow, maybe there's something to this. She only has one F, though, so we aren't. Okay. I guess truly of the same family.
So now that was, while that was playing, Sarah, you were just saying how this is not like modern dance in that way. Like people are going to go and like, oh, dance, I'm scratching my head. What does this mean? It's kind of more obvious and there's like narration that goes with it.
Yeah. One of the great things about working with Becca was she brought her theater experience of storytelling with the narrative to my experience of more abstract art in my modern dance choreography. And we brought those two strengths together to really say, well, how do you tell a story? How do you communicate an emotion with your particular language and skill set? Bringing those two worlds together, it was like we created this new, exciting hybrid art form that feels like you're not just going to the theater and you're not just going to a dance performance. It really is both. And it helps audiences not have that like modern dance thing of like, I don't get it. Like,
I'm
confused. I don't know what I'm seeing. And so they don't feel satisfied with the experience.
Right.
I have such wonderful feedback that I'm really grateful for, that audiences who they say, I am not a dance fan. I hardly ever go to dance performances. I loved this show.
Well, that's similar for me. I have not seen Sarah Bush Dance Project. I'm looking forward to seeing this. But several times I've seen Sean Dorsey dance.
Yes.
Which I consider in the very same, similar vein. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they have a production coming up the following weekend, The Missing Generation, about the devastation of the AIDS epidemic in the 1980s and 90s, which I also would recommend. I haven't seen that
yet
either. But
I'm a big fan of Sean's work.
Yeah. So yeah. I don't even know where it is, but Sean Dorsey Dance. I'm sure you can find the information. Yeah. What's going on in the current, what's going on in the current dance scene in the Bay Area? Is it challenging? Are there a lot of companies? I mean, it's so...
It does feel like there's a lot of companies. I work with a lot of younger dancers in my company. It's been an interesting shift to see in the last few years. It seems like there's a trend towards everybody dancing for everybody else and everybody else's work, and everyone's a choreographer. And so people get spread a little thin. It's sort of like at the same time, though, that makes it makes for a particular kind of community, everyone supporting each other's work. But there's less of a traditional company feeling. I've had such a great experience being in Dance Brigade for as many years as I have been, which speaks volumes to Chrissy Kiefer's great work, that I've found this company that I've wanted to stay so loyal to and so involved with for so many years. That is not the norm now.
Right.
The norm is really like all these little pickup projects. And I still come from that school of wanting a very solid company. So I hope to have dancers that stay with me longer and longer and stay more committed to this style and to one area of work. Some of that comes to funding, which we could talk about that as a whole
well,
other
actually, we
show topic.
We're almost out of time.
Yes,
Becca,
time.
In a minute or so or less, tell us about this other project you're working on, which also opens this weekend, this Saturday at Z-Space.
Yeah, it's Hook Man, which is a world premiere by Lauren Yee, who's a fantastic, brilliant playwright whose style is very much playing with language in order to shift audience expectations of what reality is. So lots of scenes happen. It's a story about a young woman who makes a big mistake and is in pretty much denial about her what she's done. And so we see a realistic play on one level, and on another level, she's living in this horror movie reality where the results of her bad judgment are revisited on her in this like slasher movie, like teen slasher movie reality.
Sounds interesting.
It's very interesting. It's funny and dark, and also is a very emotionally true story of friendship and of coming of age.
Where can folks find out about that?
You can look on the Z-Space website, which I believe is z-space.org, or the Encore Productions Facebook page. So if you look for Encore Productions in San Francisco, you can find information there.
Cool. And you can find information about Rocked by Women at sarahbushdance.org.
.com. I think either one actually gets you there.
Okay, and instead of going out with our usual theme music tonight, we're going to go out with the Julie Wolf variation of Chris Williamson's song, If It Weren't for the Music. I want to thank Kevin Vance for being our engineer tonight. Thanks for rolling with the punches. You've been listening to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. It's independently produced by me and Marilyn Pittman. We thank KALW for studio use and airtime and tonight's engineer, Kevin Vance. You can hear tonight's show, a year of past shows, and a dozen of our all-time favorites on our website, outinthebay.org, where you can also sign up for free podcasts and get the Stitcher app that lets you hear radio programs on mobile devices. That's right, Stitcher. I want to also thank, by the way, those of you who came out to our 10th anniversary and show taping at Oasis last Wednesday. It was great to meet so many of you, to hear your reactions and see the reactions to guests we've had on Out in the Bay over our first decade. We'll air that retrospective show sometime in June. Stay tuned for it. Big thanks to Oasis Nightclub and staff for being so hospitable. Thanks also to food donors Bacon Bacon and La Mediterranee, Richard Merck and Brad Payton, and Schiff Harden Law Firm for underwriting the event, and to Gretchen McDougall for designing our event handbills, and to publicist Lawrence Hellman, who's been pouring his heart and soul into helping LGBT performing artists, theater groups large and small, and creative types for many a years. He's helped us get media buzz and great turnout. Thank you, Lawrence Hellman. And finally to KALW station manager Matt Martin, who's been so supportive over the years. We'd love to hear from you with segment suggestions, comments, and questions. So write to us, Eric@outinthebay.com and Marilyn@outinthebay.com. I'm Eric Jansen, and I'm out of here.